Please listen carefully.
Hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And also, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy podcast. Today is Tuesday, the 14th of September, 2021. Hello, Christy. How are you?
Good morning, Summers. I'm well. I'm feeling pretty well.
Good. I started our morning check-in this morning. You asked how I was, and I was like, I'm magic. I'm feeling magic. And, you know, part of that is because I have continued our challenge, right? Our Optimist Daily Challenge, which we usually end up discussing on Tuesdays. This past weekend, we all committed to doing body scans, right? To actually sitting there and reconnecting. It was our interoception. We're going to invite Amelia to come on and talk about her body scan too, because she's quietly back in the background listening. Christy, tell me about your body scans. What did you do?
Well, I did the practice each morning. And then I also added another practice, sort of a gratitude practice. I've been trying to up-level my daily habits. And I think I've talked about here how I have this news addiction thing, which is not the best for feeling settled in the world and settled
in my body.
Yeah, which
is profoundly ironic.
Profoundly ironic, I know. So thanks to some advice that I got recently, I have now committed to starting my day before I open my phone or any screen or news feed with a gratitude practice on paper. So I've been doing that both in the morning and then also in the night. And I mean, these are tools that I've used in the past, but right now they've fallen out of my daily toolbox. So I'm trying to reclaim them.
Get them back in.
And in combination with the body scan, today I sort of supercharged that because I did my gratitude practice focused on my body. So that was my this morning's
so good
body scan / gratitude practice. It's interesting being more aware of myself and of my thoughts about my body in doing the body scan. I'm aware of my negative perceptions of myself. It brings it to the consciousness where a lot of times it's just sort of that low drum of feeling frustrated with things not looking the way I want them to look, for example, or a little ache or pain here as I have, gotten a little older and have flat feet and things like that.
Well, and it's interesting when those come up, right? Because all of a sudden you're aware of a thought or a feeling that you have otherwise somewhat ignored. And it can actually be a bit painful. Right.
Yeah.
When for the first time in quite some time, you're thinking about maybe some of the negative experiences or perceptions you have of your own physical self.
Right.
It can be overwhelming. And so I love that you transitioned that into gratitude for your tiny little toes and, your.
Hey, don't call my toes tiny.
Oh, I mean, everybody has one small toe, right? So Amelia, come on board here. Join in the conversation. Tell us about your body scans. How do you do them and how they feel this weekend?
So I only did one, but it was really nice. I actually did this practice also. I used to do it in my elementary school. They had us do it during PE class. And I actually did it as I was falling asleep because I figured that was when I would be like most relaxed. So I was just like, as I was laying there trying to fall asleep, I did a little scan from like bottom to top. And it felt really nice, actually. It was good to do it before bed because I feel like it helped me kind of doze off and like felt good to go to sleep being more in touch with my body. So,
yeah. Good. All right. We'll do it more than once. I had this amazing weekend of Brennan getting like super long naps, which I busied myself for the first like hour and a half of her nap. And then it was like, wow, I guess now it's time to do some body scanning. And so I actually laid down on the floor in my room and did them. And what was interesting is I realized in doing the body scanning, I've been having a lot of big headaches, which I think were partially due to allergies and then also the cold we were getting over, but also because my hips and back were kind of misaligned. And so it cued me into that was where some of the pain was hanging out. And so I did some hip readjustments and some body alignment work on my own, and me in a foam roller while my daughter was napping this past weekend, and sort of relieved some of those headaches. So instead of the feeling of, you know, just popping more Aleve and soldiering on, the body scan actually helped me identify where there was some pain. So, of course, now I have very sore hips because I've adjusted them and I have to get some muscles around it to keep them in the right place. But I think this is definitely a practice we need to continue. And I like Amelia's idea of doing them before we go to bed and yours kicking off the morning with them. So if you guys did your body scans over the weekend, tell us how you felt. Tell us what made a difference for you. You can find us anywhere on Twitter or on social media. Look for us on Twitter at Ode to Optimism, although Twitter is like a bastion of depression, so maybe don't go there. Yeah. But other places on social media, tell us how it felt. Well, Christy, should we get to business today?
Yes, and I think it's interesting that Amelia mentioned doing body scans when she was in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. Both of our articles are talking about supporting children in their mental health and development.
Yes. Well, why don't
cognitive development.
Exactly. Why don't you go first?
Okay, sure. So the headline that I chose, which jumped out at me when I looked at today's headlines, reads, "Spending time with trees boosts children's cognitive development." And for some reason, this just like when I just read the headline, I thought of The Giving Tree, that Shel Silverstein book, which Absolutely. Was one of my favorite books when I was a kid. Now reading it, I feel like it's a little depressing because this boy who becomes a man just totally takes advantage of the tree and doesn't really give anything back, right? But trees are man's best friend, even more than dogs, perhaps, in some ways. And trees are nature's air purifiers. Turns out there's a connection between being around trees a lot when you're a little kid, or this study actually focused on children between the ages of 9 and 15. And those who spent a lot of time around trees experienced several cognitive benefits as they matured and got older, and this is linked to better school performance, for example. Mm-hmm. This is a study that was published in Nature Sustainability, and what they are finding is that for children between the ages of 9 and 15, those who spent a lot of time around trees had these cognitive benefits. Specifically, kids who spent time in woodland areas. So they were more sharper mentally and also had better mental health than those who didn't visit woods as frequently. And interestingly, it's specifically correlated with woods and woodland visits.
Just like open meadows, not but just actual open meadows. Like bulk of trees right. and density of trees.
So kids who went to the lake a lot or went to sort of the park, the open park, didn't have the same kind of benefits as those who spent time in woodlands. And this suggests trees themselves may be a protective factor for children as they mature. Maybe it has to do with just the visual differentiation of tall things in your environment. Maybe it's going back to the fact that we descended from the tree, you know, that our ancient, ancient ancestors lived in woodland areas.
Lived in trees and yeah.
How brains developed. For whatever reason, nature seems to boost cognition, and they're still not sure what the actual reason is behind it. That will take more study, but there's suggestion that maybe changes to the amygdala, which helps us regulate our emotions or even just calming our minds, and the inspiration that comes from the patterns that come through the branches, that could also be something that sparks our cognitive development in a positive or productive way.
Well, one of my favorite things to do in this world is to lay on my back just on the ground and look up through trees and see the sky. So there's got to be something very grounding to that, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And actually, Brennan, we've started to wind down at night being outside because the weather is getting more comfortable here and we can go play outside after we put our jammies on. And she has just taken to when she's kind of getting tired and ready to fully unwind, she just lays down and looks at the sky and looks through the trees. And so it's almost like innate of something that we as humans really do love. So So there's more to hugging trees than just, just being a hippie, right?
It's good for you. Trees Excellent. Are magical creatures. They are talking about being magical in the world. I think trees, they don't get enough appreciation.
I'm going to go hug trees today. It's happening. Well, in addition to trees being of tremendous value for one's emotional and cognitive health, it turns out talking about feelings matters too. All right. So my headline, which I will fully cop to since I am contributing on a regular basis now to the editorial team, just because we're in some transition, I tried to make this headline bait and Amelia checked me. But my original headline was teen mental health problems? ? There's a vaccine for that. Okay. So there isn't a vaccine. The headline more accurately reads, school-based intervention method improves teens' mental health. Now, during our check-in today, we talked about that being a teenager is really, really hard. And Christy and I both parent teenagers. Many of our staff members have teenager siblings or, you know, teenager grandchildren. We're all very, very aware that adolescence is so different than it was even 20 years ago. And it's a high stress time with anxiety surrounding peer relationships, future plans, newly competitive environments, increasing responsibilities. Pre-pandemic, being a teen was hard. One out of every five teenagers experienced a mental disorder. It just wouldn't be a stretch to know that that is likely increased. Now, a new solution reported in Scientific American holds real potential to address this issue. Schools have joined in the mental health care team and are creating what has been described as school-based interventions to enhance students' capacity to regulate emotions, reframe problems with positivity, and these have had proven effects at preventing or reducing mental health problems. One of the ways this is happening is by giving students vocabulary and forum to comfortably talk about emotions. By establishing a club-like setting, students regularly check in on emotional health using things like breathing breaks or mood thermometers. This is basically a way of helping kids in a non-judgmental forum discuss how they're feeling, right? Feelings themselves aren't bad. Right? Mm-hmm. You can feel sad, but that's not a bad feeling. It's just a feeling itself. So it's adding to the vocabulary of where the emotions surround, right? So you're not just feeling bad or feeling good. You're feeling elated, excited, ambitious. This morning, Brennan, I asked her how she was feeling about school today. She's two. She said, I'm feeling nervous. I don't even know how she knows
Wow.
that I'm nervous. And I'm not even sure she understands what the word nervous means, but it was a word that she used. And I said, okay.
So I just have a question about this.
Yeah.
I mean, both you and I are very pro emotional intelligence. And this that seems like that's part of what this particular program helps to bring out. It's a skill set, being able to access your emotions and talk about them in a clear and productive way. But does it actually, what is the effect on the kids? Is it helpful to them? Is there
They named this the RAP program, Relax and Be Aware and Do Personal Rating. And this was out of this was eighth graders in 29 Baltimore City public schools. So in these schools in Baltimore, a follow-up assessment after a 12-week program showed that these participants experienced significantly fewer trauma symptoms than those who had not participated. These are youth who are regularly exposed to high rates of violence and other trauma, and these kids came out of the RAP program feeling better, calmer, and less highly reactive to trauma responses. So yes, it's not just a sit around and talk about your feelings, but it actually reduces trauma response and allows the kids to focus on other things like their futures, their school, their things that they enjoy. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I know you and I talk about with our own kids is like, what do you enjoy? What are you passionate about? So that you're not just always in trauma response to fear of the future, but instead, like, what do you enjoy every single day? So I love that this study was conducted and demonstrated the positive effects even to youth who are deeply, you know, in deeply adverse situations. They experienced a lift and an expansive perception of themselves and what they can do and will do in the future.
Yeah, I think this is really important article, and that it's being implemented in this one location. I'm sure that they're recording it and it'll be available to other school districts.
And I mean, Christy, you're absolutely right. Like, you and I are parents, and probably most of the folks who are listening to the Optimist Daily Update, right, are parents who are focused on this kind of emotional intelligence, right, EQ. But allowing this program to be replicated in schools where, you know, parents might just not have the information or the awareness to help their teens with this EQ.
And I think it's really interesting, too, because women tend to have more facility with using an emotional language, because we're allowed to feel sad. We're allowed to feel bad. Boys and men have this social pressure to be strong and stoic and not be able to express their feelings. The only acceptable emotion is often anger. That's the only masculine emotion that is allowed for boys often. So this kind of a program that helps to even just give salience of different emotional words, I think, is so important for young people growing up, especially when you're exposed to high rates of violence or trauma, because it affects you. And it's hard to just pretend away your feelings or to suppress them. It'll come out in different ways. So I love that this school district is experimenting with this, and I'm curious to see how it goes.
I think it's very cool. And I know that adding that vocabulary both to adolescents, but also adult men, you know, and certainly this, I know we're highly aware of suicide prevention this month, and there is strong veteran suicide expansion that's happening right now, right? The idea of adding vocabulary and it being okay to have a lot of different feelings can hopefully help keep people alive and help keep people growing. We've got some other great stories today on the Optimist Daily. What do you want to talk about? Do you want to read some of these headlines, Christy? There's a pretty enchanting one. I like this next one.
Well, I don't know which one you're looking at, but I was going to start with Rotterdam has become the home to the world's largest floating office. I love the idea of being on an office that's floating.
An office boat. Yeah, office boat sounds good.
Yes. France is thanking over 12,000 frontline workers with fast-track citizenship, bringing them into the French nation in a more full way. I think that's a really nice acknowledgement of their work and service, especially in this last period of time. San Francisco Bay will launch the United States' first hydrogen-powered commercial ferry this year. This is a ferry that's powered by hydrogen fuel cells. We've written about it on the past on the Optimist Daily, and I'm excited to see it go into commercial operation. There is a lovely, lovely opportunity to watch and listen to millions of monarch butterflies take flight together. It's just sort of a touch of awe you can feel by watching that. That one was
the enchanting, magical one. Also, Harvard University will divest from fossil fuels. That has been an ongoing trend in universities, so good work. Collaborative project yields first high-resolution map of the world's coral reefs. Christy, let's go diving. Orca is the world's biggest plant built to transform CO2 into rock.
And talking about direct air carbon capture. So that's an exciting new the fact that it's opened. That's great.
And then last but not least, a restored Vermeer painting reveals a Cupid hanging on the wall. So enchanting art, enchanting butterflies, cognitive health, body scans, so much fun here today at the Optimist Daily Update. It is time for us to get to our team meeting. So until tomorrow, we promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. If you have not already, please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. Join a team of winning optimists and support reader-funded independent journalism for as little as $5 a month. Everybody, have a fantastic Tuesday, and we will see you tomorrow for Hump Day.
Talk to y'all tomorrow.
Bye.